Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker. Smallbizcoaching.net is my website. I do small biz coaching and consulting, working with small businesses everywhere from someone who's just got an idea that they've started in their basement to someone who's got 4,000 employees and a huge turnover problem. I work with mostly business process improvement, but today we've got a really great guest, Steve Lupkin, who is one of the co-authors of the book, The Business of Podcasting, How to Take Your Podcasting Passion from the Personal to the Professional. So welcome to the show, Steve. I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks, Lori. It's great to be with you.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into podcasting.
Well, I like to tell people I got into podcasting when I was a teenager, and if you look at me, that you're going to raise your eyebrows when I say that. But to be honest with you, I had caught the radio bug as a teenager. I had the opportunity to learn broadcast engineering and production at the military base where my dad worked. And once I went and spent an afternoon in the studio, I was hooked, and I wanted to be on the radio in the worst way. Not being bad on the radio, but I really wanted to be a DJ or an announcer. And as soon as I got to college, I got involved with the college radio station. Flash forward, I spent about 5 years doing broadcast engineering and radio news. But, you know, the economics are such that people have a hard time making a living being on the radio. It takes a long time to get up the experience chain, if you will. So I kind of jumped out early and spent most of my career in corporate communications and public relations with large companies. About 12 years ago, I was on the wrong side of a merger and ended up on the outside looking in and needed to find a second chapter for my reinvention as a what's the next stage of my baby boomer career. And that's when, as luck would have it, it was right around the beginning of the rise of blogging and podcasting. And it was my wife who heard a feature about podcasts, which were this new crazy thing where people were distributing audio files. And I started listening and realized that this could be a great way for companies and organizations to convey their content to their audiences if it was done professionally. A lot of what I heard sounded amateurish. And with my radio background, I said, this is, you know, exactly the way to do radio in this new environment. So I started doing audio podcasts for clients. And after a while, it kind of took off. And 2 years ago, Donna Papacosta from Toronto, who had also followed a similar path into podcast production, approached me and said, we should really write a book together because, you know, we're doing this podcasting as a business service rather than trying to become, you know, podcasting stars. And so that's mm-hmm. why we wrote The Business of Podcasting, to help people who want to make money from their podcasting skills but don't know the best way to do it. We have some ways of doing it that don't involve becoming famous and becoming clever and having a million advertisers.
And when I talk to people about doing podcasting, because I've been in radio, I think I caught it when I was 13. I caught the radio bug back before the Earth's crust cooled and started working professionally in radio in 1976. And so I've been at this a very long time. And when
we're from the same generation, like you, then. Razor blades and grease pencils to do the editing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And following somebody around with your cassette recorder to get an interview.
Sure.
And I was unfortunately on the wrong side of Columbine when it happened, and that's what drove me out of the media. I was living in Denver in the newsroom during Columbine, and it's like, oh, I got to get out of here. However, as you well know, and anyone who's been in radio for any length of time knows, it's something that gets stuck in your blood and you can't get away from it. So I've been podcasting since 2008 and in various forms. And I think that having somebody like you who's a professional, or like me who's a professional, guide someone through the process of setting up their podcast and making it great content is really the most important thing. You're never going to, unless you are truly spectacular, and you've got something unique that no one else has. Even with that, if you don't conduct a professional sounding podcast, you're never going to get hardly anywhere. People aren't going to listen. So how do you suggest that people start out if they're thinking about doing a podcast?
Well, I think, you know, the big thing for us is to help people understand that, you know, there are a lot of what Donna and I like to refer to as snake oil salesmen who, you know, will take your money and teach you how to become a podcaster with ideas about gathering an audience and gathering advertisers who want to pay you for access to that audience. And what we found in our experience, and we started a few years before you did, is that for business-oriented podcasts, and your audience is small business people, the audiences are very small. And so the traditional advertising model that people have been using in the podcasting world, the so-called CPM model or cost per thousand, really doesn't work very well with most podcasts because they don't get a lot of listeners. But for a business podcast, the goal is not to go viral or to bring in, you know, 20 million hits on your podcast of people who have no interest in your product or service. The goal for a business podcast should always be to help move the needle in educating the audience of people who are already predisposed to buy your product or service. So as an example, one of the organizations that I podcast for, Lori, is a large global insurance company that insures complex business risks. They're not a traditional life, home, auto, healthcare insurance. It's not that kind of insurance. It's complex business insurance. And so what we've done for them are a series of thought leadership podcasts where the experts in various risks talk to business leaders about the kinds of things they need to do to ensure themselves and protect themselves against those risks. In one case, we did a podcast series on cyber liability. Cyber liability is the risks that you're exposed to by someone breaking into the company network and stealing your data or playing with your data or wrecking the network, all of that sort of stuff, any kind of technological problems. And by having the expert on these cyber issues talk about the issues and the things that business risk managers need to do to protect themselves from those risks. And it's not just about we have great insurance, we have wonderful claims, our premiums are low. It's not a commercial in that respect. It's a practical discussion of the risks. The listeners get better educated about what they need to know before they call the company to discuss possibly buying the insurance coverage that goes with those other risk protection tips. And so it's an educational process. Now, when all is said and done, they got about 13,000 downloads of that podcast. And we're not talking about a huge number of downloads by most people's measures of what makes a successful podcast. But when you put some numbers to that, 13,000 30-minute podcast downloads is 13,000 30-minute conversations this expert didn't have on the phone with individuals, right? And when you know, his salary is worth something and his time is worth something. And when you educate the audience and make them predisposed to say, okay, now I've listened to your podcast, I understand what I need to know, now let's talk about doing it. That's a huge win for that company, right? Because the universe of people who need that kind of insurance is small. And for most businesses, the universe of people who are actually going to buy the product is small. There's an old saying in advertising, I know that 50% of my advertising doesn't work. I just don't know which 50%. Right. And what podcasting does is enable you – it was a delayed reaction there, I know. What podcasting does is it enables you to make something available that people can download if they're interested in that content. And let me tell you, you know, we've had one of the biggest questions I get from people is, how long should your podcast be? And I say as long as it needs to be, because it varies dramatically. We've done podcasts as short as a minute because the client wanted 60 seconds on your health. So the podcasts were about a minute in length. And we've done a podcast as long as 2.5 hours. And that one was about a women's health issue that for women who were facing this terrible health issue, a 2.5 hour podcast was nothing. They wanted the information, and we got 3,000 or 4,000 downloads of that content, even though it was a 2 hour podcast, which most people would say that's crazy. So, you know, the content drives the length. And what people have to do is think about what is the goal of the podcast? What are they trying to achieve? And for a business podcast, it really should be a focus on how is this podcast going to drive behavior of my customers and my prospects to consider my products and services in a better light or make them more educated mm-hmm. about how to consider it.
And a lot of that, I mean, really, you're not even looking for listeners in the initial. Like, we do this show live just because I'm used to live radio. And I don't like the sound of pre-recorded because it sounds too stilted. That's my personal preference. In a podcast, though, you're really looking for those downloads, aren't you? The after-the-fact listeners, correct?
Well, sure. Podcasting is – the nice thing about it is it's a long-tail kind of content. And by long-tail, what I mean is it has a shelf life that's a lot longer than – you know, your traditional radio shows or advertising, you know, over-the-air radio or blog talk radio, the live program is over and done, right? The good news about blog mm-hmm. talk radio, and now, you know, terrestrial radio has gotten smart about this as well, is they record the shows and they turn them into podcasts afterwards. Podcasting is a natural extension of terrestrial radio precisely because they have all the tools already, and it's very simple to record a show as we're doing now while we talk live and then make it available later on. And, you know, increasingly, you know, the millennials and Generation X are moving into middle management and even senior management positions at organizations, and they're the ones making the decisions. And those are people who grew up with, you know, less of an interest in appointment viewing or listening. You and I are from a generation that, you know, 9 o'clock Sunday night, we would come home and watch The Sopranos on HBO. You know, our kids are not as disposed to that appointment kind of viewing where you force them to watch or listen to something at a given time. They want it when they want it. And if it's not available to them on your website as a podcast, you know, that's a ding. That's actually a negative mark because they expect it to be available. So what I say to companies is, you know, instead of doing the live events that are so hard to get people to come to, think about doing them as a recorded event. Now, you know, this is certainly a good way of getting the recorded event up and running, but doing a live-to-tape kind of a conversation with several subject matter experts in a room can be a very effective way of getting that done. And we do a lot of that for some mm-hmm. of our clients, where we put a panel of people together in a room and just have a conversation with them about the topic.
And even that is, I love listening to those kinds of conversations where you've got a lot of people who are spontaneously having a conversation. Because really what you don't want is the scripted. Because the scripted sounds stilted. And you want sure. the original reactions, which having everyone in a room or we're doing it live is so much better about. What do you?
No, that's
what are
exactly
some of the
right.
other things that, and so what are some of the other things that you're seeing that people are doing incorrectly with their podcasts?
Well, I want to say, you know, first, there are an extraordinary number of very creative folks getting into podcasting and doing all kinds of wild things with the recordings and challenging the technology and coming up with new ways of producing sound for the ear, which is a wonderful thing. And a lot of that is modeled after some of the great shows on NPR and some of the other public media outlets where people are doing all kinds of experimentation. But generally, I think the mistakes fall into two categories. One is the gee whiz category, and that's, you know, when folks are new to it, and this was true of most of us when we started in college radio, we're smitten with the technology and we want to tell people about the behind-the-scenes stuff. And one of the earliest things I noticed in some of the first podcasts I listened to, frankly, were, you know, people doing the same kinds of things that we did in college radio, talking about the control room, talking about the microphone and the headphones. And frankly, nobody really cares about that stuff. And so the first thing you have to do is kind of refrain from talking about what's going on in the studio. People can't see it. They have no idea what you're talking about unless they were in radio. So you want to avoid that. And that's kind of the first thing is don't be too smitten with the technology that you're using. Just have a conversation with your guest. Number two in that category is, you know, I hear a lot of people doing podcasts with a kind of a lazy introduction. And that is, so Steve, tell me about yourself. And to me, that is kind of, if you listen to programs, and again, I use as a gold standard the National Public Radio model. If you listen to those interview shows, you don't hear the host saying, so tell me about yourself. They always have a prepared intro of a couple of sentences to describe who the guest is and what they do. And they use that at the beginning and at the end of the interview so you know who they were talking to. That's the piece of preparation that shows you've taken a little bit of extra time to understand who you're talking to and what you're going to be talking about. And it's not inappropriate to go to the guest ahead of time and say, you know, what are the questions you would like me to ask you? And have those questions from the guest in advance. Most of the guests you'll have on a podcast have been on a show before. They've done it, and they're comfortable being interviewed, and they have answers. So it's perfectly fine to ask them ahead of time what they want to talk about. That's the one category, is the gee whiz category. And the second category is the technical category, and that is not understanding how to edit and process the sound. There's so many podcasts I listen to that don't take advantage of the tools that are available to them, and many of them are using free software for their programs, but the free software has a lot of bells and whistles that they need to take advantage of for normalizing the volume levels. People set the levels often in mysterious ways. The host will sound very, very loud, and you turn the sound down, and then when they go to the guest sound is almost inaudible. And then you turn it up for the guest, and as soon as you get back to the host, you know, blood's coming out of your eardrums because it's too loud. So, you know, learning how to equalize and use broadcast compression tools on the sound so that you have a nice, even sound throughout. The other technical issue, I guess, is editing. Some people feel that it's not appropriate to edit a conversation. But, you know, a lot of times, as you know, the conversation meanders and it doesn't get straight to the point. And, you know, without editing the person to change the meaning of what they said, if you can edit to sharpen the point that they're trying to make by removing, you know, a minute or two of stuff that's irrelevant, you can tighten the interview and make it a lot more listener friendly and interesting for the listeners who have to slog through it.
Well, one of the things that I've found, and a lot of this comes with experience, is that if you're not careful about who you choose as the person you're interviewing, sometimes you end up being Johnny Carson. So you get a lot of yes or no answers. The most important thing to me when I hear people doing that on a podcast is I want to stop them and say, wait a minute. You should have talked to this person ahead of time. You don't want to go through the entire interview before you start recording because that gets rid of everything that they want to talk about. But by the same token, you want to know that they're going to have a conversation with you and not just answer yes and no questions. How does the level of experience of the interviewer guide the interview?
Yeah, I think, you know, with podcasting being so new and not everyone going into podcasting being an experienced radio journalist or radio host, you're going to have that encounter. You're going to have the case where the host doesn't have the experience to ask the right questions and the guest is not a particularly talkative guest. And, you know, there it's a learn from experience kind of thing. You do have to absolutely take a look at, you know, the guest's ability to talk. You know, there's an old media training video in which one of the guests talking about good media interviews is a former TV talk show host. And he says, you know, there are two kinds of interview guests, those who are eager to talk and those who are merely willing to appear. And it doesn't hurt to have that pre-conversation to weed out the ones who are, you know, I'm here because my boss says I have to be, versus, boy, I can't wait to get on the show and tell you what I know. Those are always the more engaging guests. And, you know, frankly, you see this on the talk shows on cable TV, that the people who appear over and over and over again are people who are willing to say outrageous things or take a stand on an issue or just talk in an animated way. And that's, you know, far more important to an audio program, to have somebody who's willing to be engaging and energetic, you know, than to know much about what they're actually going to say. But it's important to gauge that ahead of time.
Let's talk a little bit about finding guests, because it's something that a lot of people struggle with. Being consistent with your podcast is one way of making sure you're building traffic. To do that, you've got to have a consistent line of guests. A lot of times I use radioguestlist.com. What are some of the other tools that you can use to find other guests so that you do have a consistent level?
Well, I think, you know, for most podcasters, surprisingly, because of the novelty of the medium, it's probably easier to get people to appear on your podcast than you might think. And depending on your subject area, you know, you can go and Google the different subjects that fall under that category and find people that you like and admire and people who might be celebrities of one level or another, and then really just reach out to their publicity folks and say, I have this podcast, you know, I'd love to have you on as a guest. It's not as hard as you might think to get people who are, again, they're looking for the exposure in new media, and podcasting being new media, it's a great opportunity for them to come on the show and talk about what it is that they want to talk about. And it makes you look good, if you're a good interviewer, to have these folks as your guests.
And I tell people all the time, don't be afraid to ask. I mean,
absolutely.
I had some of my best interviews with people that others have said, oh, they'll never come on your show. And so I just asked have gotten some of the best interviews ever.
I was at a conference for one of my clients, one of our news gathering clients that puts on a conference every year. It's an all-day conference with multiple panels simultaneously about public policy issues in the state of New Jersey. And I was outside during a break in the hallway, and I had my podcasting gear set up on the table to do interviews with some of the attendees. And lo and behold, I had three former governors of New Jersey come out of the room all at once. And I was able to get all three of them to sit down and give me a few minutes just by saying, Governor, do you have a few minutes? Now, politicians are great because they always want to talk. But, you know, it's an unusual situation to have three former governors of a state right in one place and just say, how about a podcast? And they all said, sure.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, that's how I ended up with and have become really good friends with some of the guys at QVC when I was doing food blogging and had a food podcast. Got the chefs that are tied to QVC to come on and talk. And then some of the guys from Top Chef and from Next Great Baker and whatnot. You just have to ask.
Yeah, that's absolutely
true.
People
are always, they're looking for ways to publicize what they do. And so if you ask and you give them a platform, they will automatically, almost always say yes.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. They're happy. They're flattered.
So let's talk a little bit about your book, The Business of Podcasting. What other kinds of things do you go into in this book?
We talk about a lot of the things that people need to know about podcasting as a business service, which is different from producing a show because I like the topic and I want to be a radio star on my own podcast. What I found was, and it doesn't happen often, but it happened often enough, that I found myself double booked, where one client wanted me in one city doing a podcast, and at exactly the same time, another client needed me to come somewhere else. And I thought there were other podcasters out there who I knew from being involved in podcasting networking groups and PodCamp Philly and so forth, which is a conference we run in Philly about podcasting. But these podcasters only had equipment that worked in their home studio. In other words, they had microphones that plugged into a desktop PC. They didn't have a proper mixer. They didn't have wireless mics. They didn't have the equipment they needed to go portable and go out on the road and record a job for me. And it really surprised me, because it's an opportunity for podcasters to potentially earn revenue because they have the skills to produce podcasts. Most companies don't have the ability to hire someone full-time to do podcasting. One of two things happens. They either put the podcasting responsibilities on someone on the IT staff, and then that person is pulled in 40 million directions doing IT things and never gets the podcast done, or they just don't do it, or they put it on somebody who they just don't have the resources. And so providing people a turnkey solution, we can do all of the work of producing your podcast. All you have to do is deliver the person with the content and the knowledge who's ready to talk, and we can produce the program for you. And that's what the kind of kernel of the book is. So we talk about legal review of content, which people might not be exposed to if they don't work in a corporate environment. We talk about contracts and pricing and billing. We talk about marketing yourself as a podcasting consultant. We talk about some of the other things that you could do as a sideline to the podcast production. So all of those things are in the book. We also have some wonderful custom-made cartoons by a hilariously funny Canadian cartoonist, Rob Cottingham, who has a series called Noise to Signal. And he created some podcasting-specific cartoons for us that are scattered throughout the book. We also have some checklists in the book of things that people might need to think about, like what do you put in your go bag? You know, if you're going to have portable equipment, put it in the car and keep it ready so that wherever you go, you're ready to podcast. All of this information is at thebusinessofpodcasting.com, including some podcast interviews that Donna and I have done with other podcasters.
Fantastic. Now, in addition to doing this, what are some of the other things that you're doing on the internet? Where can people find you?
Oh, well, the easiest place to find me is on the web. You can try my website, which is beingthemedia.com. And we have examples of all our work there. About 2 years into the podcasting venture, we started to get requests for video, and so we geared up to produce video. We do all kinds of video projects for clients, including news video, seminars, conferences, tribute videos for dinners and things like that. We also are I became certified as a legal video specialist, and I do deposition videos for law firms and court reporting firms. And I'm also a photographer, so we do still photography for clients as well. And we even do websites. So it's sort of a multimedia combination of things that all rolls together and all complements each other.
If somebody wanted to find you on Twitter, where are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Podcast Steve on Twitter.
And what other social media can they contact you at?
Oh, Podcast Steve on Facebook. And if you go to the website, we have links to all of the social media. You can reach me at steve@lubetkincommunications.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Steve. Give us again the name of the book and where they can find it.
It's The Business of Podcasting, How to Take Your Podcasting Passion from the Personal to the Professional. And it's available on the Kindle, on Amazon.com, and also in trade paperback on Amazon.com. We hope you'll buy it and read it. Thank you very much, Laura.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Steve. We've been talking to Steve Lubetkin, the author of The Business of Podcasting, How to Take Your Podcasting Passion from Personal to Professional. You can join us every week here on Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Liker from smallbizcoaching.net. I would love to hear from you if you've got a question about your small business or medium business or freelance business or any business, because we are all about getting you to be the most successful you can be. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.